Second ring, you said. I believe that's our ring.
I dog is lum. I believe you're right.
I'll see. Hello, Jotham Down Store. This is Lum and Abner.
Now, let's see what's going on down in Pine Ridge. Well, the trial against Lum Edwards for misuse of public funds goes into its second week today. Squire Skimp, Lum's attorney, began the defense last Friday. And now, as we look in on the courthouse at the county seat, we find that the squire has just concluded with his last witness. Listen.
Counsel for the defense will call the next witness.
Your Honor, we have concluded with the witnesses and the defense. Now rest this case.
Very well. I believe the prosecution has one witness who was unable to appear earlier in the trial. I wonder if that person is available now.
Your Honor, the witness was Mr. Terry of the Union Bank. His doctor advises that he is still unable to attend the trial.
Yes. Well, in view of the fact that the court's time is limited and the jury's time is valuable, I do not feel that we should hold up the trial any longer to include the witness's testimony. And so, unless there is strong objection from counsel, we shall consider the examination of witnesses concluded and proceed with the counsel's closing statements to the jury.
The prosecution accepts the decision of the court.
Defense also agrees.
Before continuing, there will be a brief recess. There are one or two points that I wish to check in the court's instructions to the jury. However, it will be just a minute, so let us not leave the courtroom.
Well, I guess that's it, Lum. All that's left now is my little speech to the jury.
Yes, it's just about all we have got left, too, I'm feared.
Well, I don't know, Lum. I think we did pretty good with some of our witnesses. We certainly got across your reasons for using those public funds the way you did. You'll have to admit that.
Yeah, but I got my doubts if that's going to help me any.
Well, all we can do now is just wait, Lum. I wonder if you would excuse me a few minutes. I want to check over some of my notes here, Lum.
Yeah, go ahead, Squire. I just want to sit here and not think about nothing. This trial's got me to where I'm wore to a frazzle. Wore to a frazzle.
Hey, Lum, what happens now?
Oh, just closing speeches is about all, I reckon, Abner.
Is Squire Skimp going to make a speech?
I'd rather not even think about it.
A speech to the jurymen's, is that it?
Yeah.
No, I mean, no telling what he'll say to them again he gets up there.
Yeah, as long as somebody's going to make a speech for me, I wished I could do it myself.
Yeah.
He'll about get up there and strut around, orate, and show off.
Sure.
Body will think he's running for some kind of office instead of defending me.
Oh, he loves to hear himself talk.
Abner, would you come to visit me when I'm in the penitentiary?
Why, sure I will. I'll bring you some cookies and some long books to read.
Wait a minute. I believe the judge is ready to start again. You better get back to your seat, Abner.
Yeah, sure. I'll bring you one of them 10-year diaries to write in. Two of them if you need them.
All right. This court is in session again. Is the counsel for the defense prepared?
Yes, Your Honor.
Very well. Proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, for the past 6 days, you have listened patiently and attentively to the trial of a man I am proud to represent, Mr. Lum Edwards. Now, during that time, you have been subjected to a great deal of testimony and evidence. You've been told how Mr. Edwards, in attempting to administer justice in the town of Pine Ridge, used certain public funds in a manner which, according to the strict letter of the law, might be construed as a technical violation. Now, these facts neither my client nor myself have at any time denied. However, it is our contention that this is a case which rises above the mere technicalities of the law. This is a case which deals with justice in its larger and truer sense. We have shown you how Mr. Edwards took it upon himself and without regard for himself, to protect the interest and property of a fellow citizen against the insidious and treacherous schemes of an unscrupulous intruder in the community, namely one Mr. B.J. Webster. We have also revealed to you how this Mr. Webster, with high-sounding words, with grandiose plans, with glorious promises, deluded, deceived, defrauded, hoodwinked, and tricked an aged, helpless, trusting gentleman and his little old gray-haired helpmate out of their property, their farm, their home, their sole possessions. Now, this so-called promoter, this wolf in sheep's clothing, was clever. Oh, yes, he was clever. He kept his despicable operations within the law. That is, within his technical interpretations. In other words, the technical aspect of the law permitted Mr. Webster to perpetrate a fraudulent scheme and at the same time be used to bring to trial a morally innocent man, Lum Edwards. I need not dwell further on the obvious injustice therein. Nor do I need to point out to you, ladies and gentlemen, that it remained for a courageous man of Mr. Edwards' type, a type of whom the world has far too few, it remained for him to break with practice and precedent, to go above the law, and administer justice in a manner irregular, according to the technicalities of the law, but also in a manner extremely expedient, and I'm sure you will agree, highly commendable. Now, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, in your deliberations in the jury room, I ask you to bear in mind the fact that in committing the act which the prosecution describes as a criminal offense, Mr. Edwards gained not one single thing for himself. On the contrary, he placed himself in a very precarious position. And the one person who did benefit from this act, Mr. Milford Spears, also did not gain any advantage. He only had returned to him the equivalent of the property which was, in effect, stolen from him. Now I ask you, does that sound like the act of a man who would willfully commit a criminal offense? Secondly, ladies and gentlemen, I call your attention to the impeccable character of the defendant as revealed through the sworn testimony of men and women from that very witness stand there. Such loyalty, respect, and admiration, as was truthfully expressed in this courtroom, can be merited only by a man possessing the qualities of honesty, wisdom, and compassion in the greatest degree. Now, again, I ask you, does such a man deserve to be treated as a criminal and convicted of a crime for doing nothing more than a great act of kindness? Ladies and gentlemen, in arriving at your decision, you are bound to consider several statutes of law which apply to this case and which will be read to you by the court. However, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you to go further than that. I ask you to delve deeper into the realm of true justice, of human justice. I ask you to weigh these matters gravely and seriously, and with all the wisdom at your disposal. And with that, I leave the fate of my client, my good friend, and a great humanitarian, Mr. Lum Edwards, in your able hands, confident that you will bring in the only one true verdict possible in this case, not guilty. I thank you.
Granny Squire, come here. Let me shake your hand.
No, tut-tut, Lum.
Oh, you sure done good there. Yes, sir. Way yonder better than I ever allowed you would.
Well, I I just did what I could, Lum.
Well, it sounded good to me.
All right. All right. Order, please. Counsel for the prosecution may now address his final argument to the jury.
Granny Squire, after hearing you, I believe I got a chance. Yes, sir, I believe I got a good chance.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I shall not resort to spectacular oratory or attempt to mislead you by false reasoning. Nor shall I endeavor to cloud the true issues of the case being tried before you in this court. It is neither proper for a counselor of the law to conduct himself in such a manner, nor in my case is it necessary to do so. Inasmuch as the preponderance of evidence has set forth in the proceedings...
Hey, Lum, you're not paying attention to this.
I know I ain't, Squire, and I ain't going to neither.
Well, Lum, you can't just sit there with your hands over your ears. It doesn't look good.
Listen, Squire, I don't want to hear him remind me how guilty I am. I'm happy right now, and I don't want nothing to ruin.